that's Bloomington, Indiana, Brother Reaver, not Bloomington, Illinois. Is a little difference. Well, I'm going to kind of veer away from our theme tonight. I'm going to read from Isaiah 43 and 11. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I read a quote one time from the great theologian A.T. Robertson. This is what he said. If we are really honest, we must admit that there is no evidence of God. So tonight, I want to preach to you a few moments on challenging the existence of God. Challenging the existence of God. One more time, would you pray? In the name of Jesus, God, we ask you to be with us tonight and anoint us to minister your word. Anoint our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, and our minds to perceive. In the name of Jesus, turn to somebody, shake their hand, give them a big old praise of the Lord tonight, and you may be seated. We are living in a world today that is challenging the existence of God. The evolutionists are challenging the existence of God. Pope Francis said about creation, God doesn't have a magic wand. He said, I believe that science and evolution and God together brought about the creation of the heavens and the earth. But God said in Isaiah 44 and 24, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretch forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. The atheists are challenging the existence of God. They want the words, one nation under God, taken out of our Pledge of Allegiance. In fact, they have filed a lawsuit against our government over this very thing. One time there was an atheist barber and a preacher. They was walking through the city slums, and the atheist barber said, if God is as kind as you say he is, then why does he permit all of this poverty and all of this disease? And why does God allow all these poor bums to be addicted to drugs and alcohol? He said, no, I'm sorry. I can't believe in a God that would permit all these things. And they walked along, and all of a sudden the preacher saw a man who was dirty and his hair hanging down the back of his neck. His beard was about a half inch long. And the preacher said, you know, you must not be a very good barber to permit a man to look like this and continue to live in the neighborhood like this without a haircut and a shave. And the barber said, well, why are you blaming me for the man's condition? He said, he's never come into my shop. He said, if he would, I can make him look like a brand new man. And the preacher said, well, don't blame God for allowing people to condemn you on in their evil ways when he is constantly inviting them to come and to be saved. The scientists today are challenging the existence of God. They're telling us that God is dead. Johnny James, one of our black ministers, said this. He said, if God is dead, I want to know when he died. And he said, I want to know what year he died. I want to know what month he died. I want to know what week he died. I want to know what day he died. And I want to know what time he died. And I want to know where he died. And he said, and I want to know the name of the coroner that pronounced him dead. He said, I want to see the death certificate. He said, I want to know why I was never notified. You always notify nearest of kin when somebody dies. He said, I want to know why I was never notified. He said, after all, I'm one of his children. The Bible says, though, that those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. One songwriter wrote that when your stories have all been told, there's just one thing I'd like to know. If God is dead, then tell me, who's this living in my soul? I remember several years back, I was working in this factory. We were on our lunch break, and one of the walls was all glass. And this young girl said, how do we know there's a God? How do you know there's a God? You can't see God. It was in the fall of the year, and the wind was blowing. You could see the leaves blowing across the street. I said, how do you know the wind is blowing outside? I said, you can't see the wind. She said, no. But I said, if you walked outside, you could feel the wind. She said, yes. And I said, and you see the manifestation of the wind. You see the leaves blowing across the street. I said, that's how I know there's a God. Even though I can't see God, I can feel God. And I see the manifestation of God. I see how he can take a man and a woman that is addicted to drugs and alcohol and all kinds of sexual perversion and wash them and cleanse them and make a brand new man and woman out of them. That's how I know there's a God. But yet the great theologian A.T. Robertson said, if we are really honest, we must admit there is no evidence of God. And we wonder, how can such intellectuals look at creation itself and not see nothing of wonder at all? It was Christmas Day, 1968. Three astronauts from Apollo 8 circled the dark side of the moon, and they headed back for home. And then suddenly, over the horizon of the moon, arose the blue and white earth, garlanded by the black void of space. And these three astronauts, trained in science and technology, did not utter the word of Einstein. They did not go to the poets and the dramatists. Millions on this earth below heard the voice from outer space of one astronaut read these words: in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The only concept worthy enough to describe this unspeakable awe was, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. One astronaut said, there is something bigger than us all. Another said, this experience has had a profound effect on my belief in God. Another said, just the wonder of creation itself tells us there has got to be a God. Think about it. The sun is 93 million miles away. Its diameter is 109 times greater than the earth. Its core temperature is 27 million degrees Fahrenheit. And yet this earth only intercepts 1/1,000,000th of the sunlight and the heat. Science says that there is 1 quintillion stars in the heavens. And the Bible says that he calls them all by name. You talk about a memory. I can't even remember Santa's 8 reindeers. But he calls 1 quintillion stars all by name. Praise God. Amen. Just the wonder of creation itself tells us there has got to be a God. Whenever Jesus put spit and mud in the blind man's eyes and told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, and he came back with 20/20 vision, he was demonstrated that he was the one that fashioned the eyes of the first man, Adam. And he used the very same material, dirt. And he also demonstrated that he's the one behind every healing wound on earth. The doctor can sew you up, but who causes that wound to mend back together? God does. The doctor can set a broken leg, but who causes that bone to mend back together again? God does. And that's not all. He's the one behind every emotional wound that is healed. That's why Isaiah said he was wounded for our transgressions. When you're wounded, you bleed externally. And he goes on to say, and he was bruised for our iniquities. When you are bruised, you bleed internally. So Calvary was for the healing of the outer man as well as the inner man. Amen. There was a boy by the name of Bill. Bill ran away from home when he was 16 years old. He was gone for years. His mother had lost all contact, did not know where he was at. But every day she never failed to pray, God, wherever Bill's at, cover him, protect him, bring him back home. Bill became an alcoholic. Every New Year's he would make a resolution, I'm going to stop drinking. But he, a day or two later, he'd be back to drinking again. He'd pull off his old hat and throw it on the ground. He was so disgusted. One day Bill decided, I'm tired of living this way. He decided he was going to end it. He was going to commit suicide. So on his way down to this bridge, he was going to jump off of this bridge, commit suicide. One of his friends stopped him, said, hey, Bill, where are you going? Oh, I'm just going down the road here a bit. He said, why don't you go to church with me tonight? Bill thought, well, you know, it ain't going to hurt nothing. You know, a few minutes ain't going to hurt nothing. He said, okay, I'll go with you. So Bill went. He sat there, Pentecostal church, and God began to get a hold of old Bill's heart. One of the elder sisters in the church walked up to him and said, young man, would you like to pray tonight? I'll pray with you. Bill said, I sure would. Bill got up and they both came down the aisle, knelt at the altar. And that young man repented of his sins. He was baptized and God filled him with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Old Bill decided he was going to go back home. And so one day he got on the bus, he went back home, walked up on the porch and knocked on the door. Nobody answered. He opened the door and he walked in. He hollered, hey, Mom, I'm home. His mother came. She was in the kitchen cooking a meal, and she came out of the kitchen, had her apron on, drying her hands on her apron. He said, Mom, I'm home. He ran over and picked her up, whirled her around and around. He went over to the rocking chair, carried her over to the rocking chair and set her on his lap. He's sitting there rocking with his mother in his lap. Said, Mama, I was a hopeless alcoholic. I was going to hell. He said, I was on my way to commit suicide, Mama. But a friend stopped me and invited me to church. And he said, I went to church that night, Mama. And I repented and I was baptized and I was filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, Mama, Jesus took away the crave and the desire from alcohol. He made a brand new man out of me. You come too late, Mr. Robertson, to tell this man by the name of Bill that there is no evidence of the existence of God. Would you clap your hands and praise him tonight for that? Napoleon was asked one night, some of his soldiers, if he believed in God. He pointed up to the starry sky and he said, who made all of that? And walked away. George Washington, the first president of the United States, said, it is impossible for this universe to run without God. Abraham Lincoln, the 16th president of the United States, in all of his speeches and letters, they were filled with references to the Bible and its dependence upon prayer and the guidance of God. Dwight D. Eisenhower, 34th president of the United States, the supreme Allied commander of the D-Day invasion that brought Germany to its knees, said this. Amen. He said he believed in God. In 1954, it was he who had these words, one nation under God, included in our Pledge of Allegiance. In 1956, he signed into law, officially declaring, in God we trust, to be on our, be as our national motto and upon all of our currency. He said, I don't believe all of these problems of this world can be solved without God. Ronald Reagan, the 40th president of the United States, said, America needs God more than God needs America. And he said, a nation who forgets God is a nation gone under. Wernher von Braun, the German rocket scientist who was responsible for America putting a man on the moon, was asked one day, do you believe in God? Amen. And he said, yes, I believe in God. He said, absolutely. He said, just look at the universe. To me, it would be incomprehensible that there would be such a gigantic master plan without a master planner. And that master planner, he said, is he who we call the creator of the universe. Astrologer Jonas Kepler was told by one day by an atheist that he believed that the world created itself. And so one day he made a model of this earth and the solar system and the earth revolving around the sun. And the atheist came in and he looked at that model. He was just amazed at that model. He said, who made this model? He said, no man, nobody made it. It made itself. He said, I'm not crazy. That model could not have made itself. He said, but yet you try to tell me that this universe made itself. Praise God. Amen. In 1954, he put these words, one nation under God, included in our pledge. Amen. All of these men were men that believed in God Almighty. But yet the modern day intellectuals are challenging the existence of God. In the University of South Carolina, there is a professor of philosophy who was a devout atheist. His goal every semester was to convince the class, his class, that there was no God. And at the end of every semester, he would stand there with a piece of chalk in his hand. And he said, is there anyone here in my class today that would refute me? And if anybody refuted him, he would call them to front. He would say, you're a fool. He would take a piece of chalk and hold it up. He said, if there's a God, I'm going to drop this piece of chalk. And if it doesn't, if it doesn't break, he said, then I will believe that there is a God. And he would drop that chalk and it would break into hundreds of pieces. Amen. But one day there was a young man, young Christian boy, that was in his class. He had to have it for one of his majors. And he prayed every day. He knew at the end of that semester he was going to face the same thing everyone else had faced. So he prayed that God would give him wisdom and strength. So sure enough, at the end of that semester, that professor got up there, held up that piece of chalk. Is there anyone here, he said, that would dare refute me? And this young man stood. He said, you're a fool, son. Come up here. He took that piece of chalk. He said, I'm going to drop this piece of chalk, and if there is a God, it will not break. He dropped that piece of chalk, and it did not break. He just stood there frozen. Pretty soon, after a while, he walked, shot out of that classroom, and that young man stepped to the front of that class, and he told over 300 students about the saving power of Almighty God. You've come too late, Mr. Robertson, to tell this young man there is no evidence of the existence of God. Back in May, I was preaching in Rolla, and there was a young man that came up to me, and he said, Brother Mahir, and he said, I want to tell you about my wife's accident. Her name is Jacqueline Thompson. She's about 22, 23 years old. She's driving down a highway. There was a semi in front of her that suddenly put his brakes on. Jacqueline hit her brakes, and her car skidded sideways and went up under the trailer of that semi. Give me a picture of it. There's her car. Went up under the back end of that trailer. And about that time, her mother drove by. She recognized the car. She jumped out of the car and ran out of her car and ran up to this car. And she looked inside, and here was her daughter lying there, knocked out, bloody mess. And this is what she saw. When she saw that forehead of her daughter, she started rebuking death. She said, "Death, you are not getting my daughter. I rebuke you in Jesus' name." And she started crying out to God, "God, we need a miracle here. We need you right now." Bible said the Lord is a present help in the time of trouble. And all of a sudden, there was a nurse that had got off of work at the hospital in Rolla. You can shut that off, Amber. And she was on her way home. And there was another nurse that was going to the Rolla hospital to go to work. And they both intersected at the very same time. You talk about God at this accident. They jumped out of their cars and they started administering first aid. There was only one doctor in all of Missouri that could handle this type of trauma. And it just happened that he was on duty at the hospital in Columbia, Missouri. They put Jacqueline on a helicopter and they flew her to Columbia. Amen. I want to show you Jacqueline today. Amen. That's Jacqueline. I said, "Jacqueline, stand up next to that wall. I got to get a picture of this." I said, "I got to tell this everywhere I go." You talk about a miracle, friend. You come too late, Mr. Robertson, to tell Jackie Thompson there is no evidence of the existence of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Chris Hansen went in the hospital to have a lung removed because of cancer. Time went by and he started having trouble with the other lung. He went back in the hospital. Devil kept telling him, "You got cancer in the other lung now, Chris. You're going to die. But the church prayed for him. He went back in to see the doctor. They x-rayed him. The doctor came out and said, "Mr. Hansen," he said, "both of your lungs are in perfect condition." He said, "What'd you say, doctor?" He said, "I said both of your lungs are in perfect condition." He said, "Can't be." He said, "I came in here a few years ago, had one lung removed. I've only got one lung." He said, "Here is your x-ray. Look for yourself. You got two lungs, son, and both of them are in perfect condition. You come too late, Mr. Robertson, to tell Chris Hansen there is no evidence of the existence of God." Praise God. Revelation 1 and 8 says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending." There are 26 letters in our alphabet. Amen. We're all familiar with them, ain't we, on our phones, texting. And I mean, I've seen some people so professional with that. I mean, it's unreal how fast they can text. Me, I'm always hitting the wrong letter. You know, I got to go back and redo it. But anyway, Alpha is the Greek letter for A in the Greek alphabet. And Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. Jesus is everything in the middle, too. Amen. You can take our alphabet and you can spell out anything that you want, anything that you need. You can spell it out through that alphabet. And you can take the letters J-E-S-U-S and spell out anything that you need. Praise God. How do you spell salvation? J-E-S-U-S. There was a Catholic boy that went to one of our churches one time, and of course they'd always been told that Peter was the first pope. And that night the pastor preached on the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and he told about how that Peter and Mary, the mother of Jesus, were all there on the day of Pentecost, and they all were filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues. The service lasted long. He got to church on a bus, and he missed his bus because the service was so long. And so some of the young people said, "We'll take you home." So he got in the back seat, and they was driving down the road, and they got to singing, "I've got it, I've got it. I've got it, I've got it. There's something about the power of the Holy Ghost. I can't explain it, and I've got it." Amen. That young man sitting in the back seat lifted his hands, big old tears running down his face, and all of a sudden he started speaking in other tongues. Praise God. How do you spell salvation? J-E-S-U-S. Praise God. Hallelujah. How do you spell healing? J-E-S-U-S. I was preaching with Brother Bob Gilstrap in Columbia one time. I never will forget it. It was on a Palm Sunday. And there was a lady come up to me. Her name was Sandy Hampton. She said, "Brother Mahir," and she said, "I woke up one morning completely paralyzed on my right side." She said, "We called 911. The ambulance came and rushed me to the emergency room." She said, "The last thing I remember was my pastor praying for me. And I fell into a deep coma." That pastor was Brother Bob Gilstrap. They put her on a life support to keep her alive. The doctor says she has had a massive stroke. There is no brain activity, the doctor said. She has flatlined. And he suggested that they pull the plug and let her die peacefully. Sandy's husband, Larry, left the room and he prayed and he said, "God, please don't let me have to make that decision." And so, after a while, they came in and with a form wanting Larry to donate her organs. So Larry agreed and he signed the papers. The next visit, Larry went to ICU and he stood by her side and he said, "Baby," he said, "if I never get to talk to you again," he said, "I'll meet you on the other side." And these words pierced through that dark coma fog. Easter Sunday morning, Larry went by the hospital on his way to church. And he walked up to her bedside and he said, "Sandy, it's Larry. I've come to sing to you. I've come to pray for you." He sang a couple of songs and he began to pray. And all of a sudden, Sandy opened her eyes and looked into his face. Amen. For just a few seconds, Larry went and got the nurse. The nurse got the doctor. The doctor said, "Don't get your hopes up. She has got too much brain damage. She will be a vegetable the rest of her life." But the next day, the doctor came in, and Sandy is sitting on the side of the bed. They gave her 3 months therapy. At the end of those 3 months, Sandy Hampton was walking again. You've come too late, Mr. Robertson, to tell Sandy Hampton there is no evidence of the existence of God. Amen. How do you spell healer? J-E-S-U-S. How do you spell provider? J-E-S-U-S. There was a young man in Bible school. He'd run out of money before the week was over for payday, and he prayed, and he said, "God," he said, "I need $5 to put gas in my gas tank to make it till Monday, till I get paid." He said, "God, I've been faithful to you, and I'm believing you, and I'm trusting you. You're going to give me $5. He had already checked his billfold. It was totally empty. So the next day he ran to the mailbox. He just knew there was going to be money in that mailbox. He opened the mailbox, Brother Reaver, and it was empty. Man, he was so down. The Lord spoke to him and said, go back to your room and open your billfold, open your wallet. He went back to his room, picked up his wallet, and opened it up, and there was a crisp $5 bill in that wallet. He said, the only thing I regret is I didn't ask him for $500. I heard about a woman one time. She was vacuuming the floor, and the old vacuum cleaner wouldn't got to where it wouldn't pick up nothing. She got to praying. She said, God, would you please give me a good used vacuum cleaner? Very next day, she was out in the yard. A neighbor hollered at her and said, hey, you know anybody that needs a good used vacuum cleaner? I just bought a new one. I've got a good used one. She said, oh, yes, I need it so bad. She got that vacuum cleaner. She was so happy, man. She went around vacuuming that floor, praising God. Time went by, and that vacuum cleaner got to where it wasn't picking up nothing either. She said, God, would you please give me a brand new vacuum cleaner? The Lord said, I'd have gave you one the first time, but you asked for a used one. You know, the Bible says we have not because we ask not. So I want to close asking you this. Is there anybody here that's ever been delivered from anything? Is there anybody here that's ever been healed of anything? Is there anybody here that's ever had a need supplied? Is there anybody here that's ever had a prayer answered? You've come too late, Mr. Robertson, to tell all these Jesus name apostolics that there is no evidence of the existence of God. Would you stand to your feet and lift your hands and just begin to praise him and worship him tonight? Oh God, we praise your holy name tonight. Thank you, God, that we know, God, that you are a God that is alive. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's an old chorus that goes like this. Yeah. There is no telling what God can do if we'll believe. There is no telling what God can do if we'll believe. He'll heal the sick. He'll raise the dead. Open blind eyes, just like he said. Oh, there is no telling what God can do if we believe. Now, if you're here tonight sick, you need prayer for your body, whatever, would you just come and stand? And then we're going to have the rest of the saints come behind you and lay hands on you, and we're going to pray in Jesus' name. What God can do if we believe. He'll heal the sick. He'll raise the dead. Open blind eyes, just like he said. Oh, there is no telling what God can do if we believe. Sing it with me tonight. Well, there is no telling what God can do if we believe. There is no telling what God can do if the sick. He'll even raise the dead. Open blind eyes. God, I'm asking you to touch this sister tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Loose her right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. In Jesus' name, let your power and your virtue flow into this body in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, God, touch this sister tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Cover her tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, Lord, to Sister Donna tonight, touch her tonight, God, let your power, let your virtue flow into these lungs, into this body, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.
Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, loose her tonight, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, to Sister Williford stands in place of her husband tonight. I'm asking you to cover Brother Williford right now. God, loose him tonight, God. Touch these lungs. Let your power and virtue flow into these lungs tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, God, touch the preacher tonight. God, let your power and virtue flow into this body. In the name of Jesus. Loose him tonight, God. This body right now in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, God, just flow in Brother Smith tonight. Let your power and virtue flow into his body tonight in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Well, there is no telling what God can do if we believe. There is no telling what God can do if we believe. He'll heal the sick, he'll raise the dead, open blind eyes, just like he said. There is no telling what God can do if we believe. Now let's give him a hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. I was preaching this church one time, and this big old boy, big old fat guy, came up on the platform. He said, "Bum me here," and he said, "Would you pray, Lord, help me lose some weight?" I said, "Okay, hang on to your pants. Just a little faith." The Bible says, faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. Hallelujah. Turn to somebody, shake their hand, and you're dismissed in Jesus' name.